Welcome to Lectionary at Lunch. My name is Reed Lessing. I have the duty and sheer delight of leading you through Isaiah's third sermon song, Isaiah 50, 4 through 10 is the assigned reading. The song actually is 4 through 9, and 10 and 11 are epilogues or postscripts or trailers, explanations of the third sermon song. All four of the songs in 40 to 55 exhibit the same characteristic of having a so-called trailer or exposition of what the song means. Well, okay, about some time ago, in actually November of 2011, my commentary on Isaiah 40 to 55 was published by Concordia Publishing House. With all modesty and humility, I would direct you to that work, that commentary. It will certainly go into a lot more depth than I'm able to go into at this point. I also have a sermon, I would say, under the theological reflections on the third sermon song. In this commentary, I try and provide sermonic, devotional, Bible study resources as often as possible so that it is more than just a scholarly analysis, but also something that the pastor can use in ministry. So, with that modest, humble advertisement for at least a commentary that I worked hard on, and on the best 16 chapters of the Bible. So here we go. All right, Adonai Yahweh, 50:4. And of course, the whole emphasis on the third servant song is the servant keeps pushing the limelight away from himself and to Adonai Yahweh. Verse 5, Adonai Yahweh. Verse 7, Adonai Yahweh. Verse 9, Hain, Adonai Yahweh. This is Adonai Yahweh's plan. He, after all, is the creator of the ends of the earth. So we are told in Isaiah chapter 40, and specifically in verse 28 of chapter 40, Elohe Olam Yahweh. He is the everlasting God, Yahweh is, Bore Ketzot Haaretz, the creator of the ends of the earth. This is the sovereign, majestic Lord Yahweh. Adonai is a plural of majesty, not just Lord, but sovereign, majestic, universal Lord Yahweh. We have his transcendence in Adonai, his immanence in the covenantal name Yahweh. I am who I am, is what he tells Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. So this is the God who sends his servant. We're not told this is a servant song, really, until we get to the so-called trailer in verse 10 of chapter 50. The second part of that line, Shomeach Bekol Avdo, listening to the voice of his servants. So this is what the servant says. Sovereign, majestic Lord Yahweh, Natan Li, gave to me Lashon Limudim, a tongue of one's being taught. A lamud is certainly a call passive participle. Here it's plural from lamad. So here is the disciple. I have opportunity occasionally to teach this section of the Bible to pastors and then pastors to people. Here is the disciple. We often talk about making disciples, but it all begins with this disciple. And I argue in my commentary that this is a rectilinear oracle. That is to say, this only regards Jesus. Jesus is the only one in Israel's history who could ever say what this servant is saying. So I would encourage you unabashedly to interpret this Christologically, not typologically, as though there's some other person behind this text pointing to Jesus. No, this is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the disciple par excellence. To know, here's a infinitive of purpose, to know la da'at from yada, to know, sustain, of course, there's all kinds of grammatical inconsistencies here, but anyway, we will refer you to the commentary. Et ya'ef, to know, to sustain a weary one. Ya'ef, key idea. If I'm preaching on this, this is going to be my law right here. The ya'ef person is the idolatrous person. How do you become weary? You serve gods that keep telling you to keep working. That's how you become weary. We see the same word in chapter 40, 4, verse 12. This is within 44, 9 through 20, the prophet's most sustained satire on idolatry. And you can see how at the end of 44:12 in BHS, the third line, Gam Ra'av Ein Kowak, as he goes about making his idol hungry, he becomes, and there's no power. And he does not drink mayim. And here's our root, yod ayin pei vayi'af. And he becomes weary. Why do people become weary when they're idolaters? Because every other god or goddess or deity or counterfeit deity in the cosmos always says, is that the best you can do? Work harder. It's kind of like Pharaoh, more bricks. So then when we understand this, we go to chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. Do you not know, have you not heard, Elohe Olam Yahweh, Yahweh's everlasting God? He does not, and here it is in 40 verse 28, he does not grow weary, he does not grow faint, his understanding has no limit. He gives strength to the weary, verse 29, chapter 40, and to those not having strength, he increases power. Verse 30, the young men grow weary and weak, and chosen ones stumble and fall. Those who wait for Yahweh will renew strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and they will not grow weary. They will walk and they will not be faint. So this whole section at the end of chapter 40 is talking about idolaters. You grow weary, you grow faint, you lose heart in worshiping any other god than Yahweh. And going then back to the third servant song in 50 verse 4, see, this servant gives, he knows how to sustain idolaters because a word stirs him. This is an act of great grace and mercy on behalf of the servant. He speaks encouraging words to idolaters, people who are caught up in making more bricks and satisfying, the idols of their heart. This is who he is directed to speak to. Well, morning by morning, going on in verse 4, Baboker, Baboker, every morning he awakens to me an ear to listen like one of the Lemudim. So the reason why this servant has such a encouraging word is because he listens every morning to the voice of Adonai Yahweh. This is the call and command of God to Israel. Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our God, Yahweh Echad alone. No Israelites ever listened perfectly, except this Israelite. See, every morning he listens. And when you listen, then you know how to speak. Verse 5, Adonai Yahweh Patakli Ozen, Lord Sovereign Majestic Yahweh, opened to me an ear. And I was not rebellious. I myself was not rebellious, right? Ve'anoki lo mariti. I did not turn myself around from sug. Nesugoti is a Nifal perfect, first common singular from sug. So he wasn't rebellious. He didn't turn his back because this servant is such an awesome, humble listener. He has a word to sustain the weary, the idolater. Well, his learning then is always not only from boker by boker, morning by morning, but the learning also comes through suffering. Why does this servant know the word to sustain the weary? Well, not only does he open his ear, and Yahweh opens it for him, but he also learns through suffering. This is why he speaks an encouraging word. My back, verse 6, Natati, I gave, Lemakim, to ones beating me. This is a hifil participle of nun kaf he, very common word, to smite, strike, and my cheek to ones pulling out. Of course, this is the elliptical phrase, pulling out my beard, which in the ancient Near East was always an act of humiliation. It was almost to emasculate a man to pull out his beard. My face I did not hide, histarti, from, and now we have a so-called plural of intensity, mikelimot. So often in English from shame, but it's a feminine plural noun, vav holam tau. So I would translate this from deep shame, veroke and spitting. So note how he gives his back, his cheek, and his face. And through all of this, in the context, he's learning. See, in Hebrews 7, it says that Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. And what he learned, now he can pass on to us with his encouraging word. Adonai Yahweh. Second time we have this, right? I'm sorry, third time, verse 7. Adonai Yahweh will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced, nikalmti. Therefore I set my face kalimish, like flint. This is the same kind of rock, we are told in the Pentateuch, that Moses struck and water came out of it for people to drink in Exodus chapter 17. So this is flint. This is the hardest rock. This is fierce determination. Luke picks this up, certainly in an echo in Luke 9:51, where the evangelist says that Jesus set his face resolutely to go to Jerusalem. He's got to do it. It's divine necessity, the so-called divine dei verb in Greek. The Son of Man must suffer many things. He must set his face to Jerusalem. He has set his face like flint. And he says, I know I will not be ashamed. You see, because it's all about Adonai Yahweh. And who is he? He is the creator of the ends of the earth. He is the eternal God. With Yahweh, you have a majority. So the servant is confident. Why verse 8? Karov matzdiki. Near is the one vindicating me. Now, I don't know how much time you have in a sermon, but this hifil participle from Zedek certainly points us to the fourth sermon song. In 53:11, second line in BHS, Yatzdik Tzadik Avdi La Rabim, my righteous servant will justify many, vindicate many. You see, the reason why he can vindicate many is because he himself is vindicated by Adonai Yahweh. Then shares this vindication with the world. So near is the one vindicating me, mi yariv iti, who will contend with me? Let us stand together. From Ahmad, call, cohortative, plural. Let us stand yakad together. It's you know, the old adage, you know, bring it on. Take your best shot. Is that the best you can do? Come on. You know, let's have it out. That's what the servant is doing. He is so confident in Adonai Yahweh's vindication. He was delivered over for our sins, right? Romans 5:24-25. He was raised for our justification. So he is vindicated, so he now is the vindicator. Mi Baal Mishpati, who is the Lord of my contention, literally, Yagash Elav, let him come to me. So bring your charges, bring your body blows, bring your thorns, your nails, your spear, your spit, your disgrace, your Roman whip, bring your darkness, bring it all, because this servant will be vindicated. Verse 9, Hain. So behold, Adonai Yahweh will help me. Mihu Yarish Eini. Who is he that... here we have Rasha, which is the antonym of Zedek in the Hifil. Who will, how should we put this? Who will bring evil to me? Who will announce me as an evil one? Something like that. Certainly Paul has this in mind in Romans 8:34. Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Paul is simply doing there in Romans 8 what he does all over the place. What is true of the one is true of the many. If this servant is vindicated, so are his elect, so are the baptized. Behold, kulam, all of them, kebeged, like a garment, yivlu, will wear out. A moth will consume them. So that's the third servant song proper. As I said, verse 10 is the so-called epilogue, and that's also in the assigned reading. So this is the prophet's explanation. Who among you, Yireh Yahweh, is a fearer of Yahweh? He is listening to the voice of his servant, which we've just had a privilege to listen to. Who walks in Kashekim? There's another intensive plural. In deep darkness, of Ein Nogalo, and there is no lights to him. Here we would, this is ambiguous, but we would take it contextually as a jussive. Let him trust in the name of Yahweh, just like the servant did, and let him lean, Niphal from Sha'an, on his God. Well, there you have it, the third servant song. I would say a good sermon title might be something like, it's easy as pie to begin, but it's tougher than nails to finish. And for this servant, is what it was tougher than nails, but he finished for us, also that he could speak a word to the idolaters, an encouraging word. God's blessings as you ponder this text and preach from it.